Today, the inflation monster runs free. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. We have noticed posts covering finance and prop news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Stocks wobbled, but ultimately ended lower on Wednesday, as the fastest pace of inflation in decades stoked bets that the Federal Reserve will be forced to deliver a much larger than expected 1% rate hike later this year. The S&P 500 closed down 0.5%, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.7%, and the Nasdaq fell 0.1%. US inflation rose 9.1% in June to hit a fresh four-decade high, topping economists' forecasts for a 9% rise, and that was driven by an 11.2% leap in gas prices and the 1% increase in food prices. This will be the last big increase, Pantheon Macroeconomics said, as margins fall, wages gain slow, and commodity prices decline. But right now, this report will make for very uncomfortable reading at the Fed, they added. US inflation roared to a fresh four-decade high, likely strengthening the Federal Reserve's resolve to aggressively raise interest rates, and that risks, of course, upending the economic expansion. The Labour Department data showed the Consumer Price Index rose 9.1% from a year earlier in a broad-based advance, the biggest gain since the end of 1981. The widely followed inflation gauge increased 1.3% from a month earlier, and that's the most since 2005, reflecting higher gasoline, shelter and food costs. And the so-called core CPI, which strips out the more volatile food and energy components, was up 0.7% from the prior month and 5.9% from a year ago. That was above forecasts. The red hot inflation figures reaffirms that price pressures are rampant and widespread throughout the economy, and it's taking a bigger toll on real wages, which are down the most since back to 2007. The inflation data will keep Fed officials on an aggressive policy course to rein in demand, and that add pressures to President Joe Biden and the Congressional Democrats, whose support has slumped ahead of midterm elections later in the year. Several factors, such as housing, stand to keep price pressures elevated for longer, and geopolitical risks, including COVID lockdowns in China and Russia's war in Ukraine, also pose risks to supply chains and so to the inflation outlook. Rather than cooling down, inflation is heating up, Sal Gattari, senior economist at BMO Capital Markets, said in a note. While a pullback in gasoline costs in July and reported retail discounting will help tamp down the flames, the broad pressure in the core rate, led by plenty of inertia in rents, suggests inflation may not peak for a while and may remain stubbornly high for longer than anticipated. Fed policymakers have already signalled a second 75 basis point hike in interest rates later this month amid persistent inflation as well as still robust jobs and wages growth. And even before the data was released, traders had already fully priced in such a move. Now, they also see around a 1 in 3 chance that it could be a full percentage point rise. The higher and faster that the Fed goes increases the risks for a potential recession, which several economists see in the next 12 months. Even so, the labour market has held up strong, adding nearly 400,000 jobs last month. It was premature for some to preemptively dismiss the June CPI report as old news, as it shows inflation creeping up in places where it can be harder to squash. The Fed is right to worry about the unmooring of inflation expectations, and this report raises the chance of an even larger rate hike than the 75 basis points down the line. Prices for household necessities continue to post outsized increases last month, with gas prices up 11.2% in June from a month earlier, and prices for energy services, which includes electricity and natural gas, increased 3.5%, the most since 2006. Of course, Biden is travelling to the Middle East this week to discuss energy output with Saudi and other Gulf leaders in hopes of lowering high prices at the pump. Retail gas prices topped $5 a gallon across the country in June, though they have now subsided somewhat. Food costs, though, climbed at 1% and 10.4% from a year ago. That's the largest increase since 1981. And the costs of goods rose 2.1% from May, while a 0.9% increase in services costs was the largest in more than 21 years. Economists have been expecting consumers to rotate their spending from goods to services as COVID-related concerns fade, but goods prices so far are still elevated. There's reason to believe that food and energy costs are subsiding, though, according to Wells Fargo economists, particularly for groceries. We suspect more significant easing ahead as raw material, transportation and wages costs have started to cool, they said in the note. The rent of primary residences, though, rose 0.8% from May. That's the largest monthly advance since 1986. And owner's equivalent rent increased 0.7%. That's the most in nearly 32 years. While home sales have slowed in recent months due to higher mortgage rates, economists expect rental inflation to continue to increase because it takes time for price changes to feed into the CPI. The cost of hotel and airline fares, as well as car rentals, fell from May to June, following historic increases in recent months. Even so, recent commentary from US airlines have indicated that travel demand remains strong. Used car prices, which were a major contributor to inflation last year, rose 1.6% from a month ago, while new vehicle prices increased 0.7%. High prices continue to eat away at consumer incomes despite strong nominal wages growth. Inflation-adjusted average hourly earnings dropped 3.6% in June from a year earlier. That's the 15th straight decline and the largest in data terms back to 2007. That started to impact spending. Inflation-adjusted consumer expenditures fell 0.4% in May. That's the first decline this year. With just 2 weeks to go until the Fed's July meeting, investors are now betting that the Fed will indeed be forced to deliver a 1% rate hike, bringing the central bank closer to reaching a restrictive stance on monetary policy. Following the report, Atlanta Federal Reserve President Raphael Bostic fueled further speculation of a 1% rate hike, saying everything was in play. And bank stocks, which will be in the spotlight on Thursday as JP Morgan kicks off the quarterly earnings for major Wall Street banks, were hurt by ongoing concerns that a recession is on the horizon. Wells Fargo, Bank of America, and Citigroup were all down more than 1%. The dip buying in tech, though, was on show once again as big tech stocks paired some of their losses as Treasury yields retreated from session highs. Still, Apple, Alphabet, and Microsoft all remained in the red. Twitter, meanwhile, jumped 8% after the social media giant sued Elon Musk to prevent him from withdrawing his $44 billion take-private deal. And as the court battle between Musk and Twitter looms, the latter appears to have a strong iron fist upper hand. Wedbush said, with the stock now factoring in some significant chance that Musk will ultimately have to pay Twitter a settlement well north of $1 billion. On the earnings front, Delta Airlines reported quarterly results that missed on the bottom line as rising fuel prices were a drag on margins, offsetting better-than-expected revenue. Its shares fell nearly 5%. Now, it's worth noting that Bank of America economists forecast a mild recession this year in the US, saying services spending is slowing and hot inflation is spurring consumers to pull back. A number of forces have coincided to slow economic momentum more rapidly than we previously expected, analysts said. Those include inflation from food and energy prices that leave households with less available for discretionary purchases and tighter financial conditions, with higher mortgage rates denting affordability. So Bank of America joins Wells Fargo and others, including Nomura, in expecting a recession in 2022. An economist at Deutsche Bank, one of the first major banks to forecast such a contraction, sees one starting in mid-2023. The Bank of America economists expect fourth quarter US gross domestic product to decline 1.4% from a year earlier, followed by a 1% increase in 2023. This should raise the unemployment rate by 1 percentage point to about 4.6%, which they said would help inflation moderate. Now, over in Canada, the Bank of Canada hiked interest rates by a full percentage point, a surprise move that supercharges efforts to withdraw stimulus amid fears four-decade-high inflation is becoming entrenched there. Governor Tiff Macklem raised the central bank's policy rate to 2.5% in a decision announced on Wednesday in Ottawa and warned that more hikes were to come. The 100-basis-point move is the largest increase since 1998. Markets and economists were anticipating 75 basis points. The unexpected monetary jolt illustrates the extent to which officials are spooked by soaring inflation, electing to take decisive action even at the risk of causing severe economic pain. They cited worries that persistent inflation creates a vicious cycle of wage gains and price increases that is difficult to bring under control. With the economy clearly in excess demand, inflation high and broadening, and more businesses and consumers expecting high inflation to persist for longer, the Governing Council decided to front-load the path to higher interest rates, officials said in the policy statement. The Canadian dollar soared on the move, rising more than 0.5% against the dollar. And yields on two-year sovereign bonds jumped by about 10 basis points to 3.31%. Investors ramped up bets that front-loading also means rates will plateau higher than previously expected. Overnight swaps suggesting Macklin will hike the benchmark to about 3.75% by the end of this year, up from 3.5% before the decision. In fact, more than 30 central banks have now hiked rates by a full point or more in one go in 2022. But policymakers are still indicating they believe they can limit economic damage in the long run by reducing the need to chase escalating inflation expectations in the future. In fact, in his opening statement to reporters at the press conference, Macklem said the objective is to achieve a soft landing. By front-loading interest rate increases now, we are trying to avoid the need for ever higher interest rates down the road, he said. This argues for getting our policy rate quickly to the top end, he said, adding that he believes that's slightly above the neutral range, which the central bank estimates between 2 and 3%. Neutral is a policy setting where borrowing costs are neither stimulative nor constrictive. And to explain the aggressive hike, policymakers cited an economy clearly in excess demand, high and broadening consumer price gains, and a growing inflation expectations. The Bank of Canada's 100 basis point increase follows a consecutive half percentage point hikes in April and June, making the current tightening effort one of the most aggressive ever. And Macklem is also one of the more hawkish among peers in a world where a number of central banks are pivoting to more aggressive hiking paths as inflation pressures continue to surprise on the upside. In the accompanying monetary policy report, Bank of Canada officials again raised their near-term forecast for inflation, seeing price pressures running at around 8% in the middle of the quarters this year, and inflation will drop to 7.5% by the end of this year, but won't return to the 2% target until the end of 2024. And policymakers also slashed their outlook for the Canadian economy. They now see gross domestic product expanding 3.5% this year and 1.8% in 2023, down from 4.2% and 3.2% respectively, as global growth moderates and tighter monetary policy impacts activity. The bank added analysis of a new risk scenario in which a self-reinforcing wage hike and price spiral could ensue, saying that situation becomes more likely the longer inflation remains well above their 2% target. And in an appendix to the report, the bank did acknowledge mistakes in forecasting inflation over the last year. It primarily blamed the errors on global factors, but did also cite domestic housing costs. The bank said real estate activity was already weakened substantially from what it described as an unsustainable pace during the pandemic, and expects both housing transactions and prices to decline in 2023 as rates rise. And as I covered yesterday, the Reserve Bank in New Zealand hiked the official cash rate there to 2.5% from 2% and said it was resolute and it's had a commitment to get inflation down and back to its target of 1% to 3%. The 50-point rise was widely expected and followed double-jumped increases in the OCR in both April and May. So the OCR has been pushed up some 225 basis points since the start of this hiking cycle in October 2021. And prior to that, the OCR had been on the emergency setting of 0.5% since March 2020 at the start of the pandemic. Economists had been expecting that the RBNZ would produce another hawkish statement that keeps the pressure on regarding the Reserve Bank's efforts to dampen down inflation expectations. And the latest announcement from them did not include a full monetary policy statement. The last one was issued in May, while the next one will be in August. Therefore, the central bank has not updated the economic forecast it made in its main announcement, which included forward projections suggesting the OCR would hike to about 4% by the middle of next year. However, In the summary of Wednesday's meeting of the Monetary Policy Committee, it is stated that the committee remains broadly comfortable with the projected path of the OCR outlined in the recent May monetary policy statement. And crucially, the statement said it remains appropriate to continue to tighten monetary policy conditions at pace to maintain price stability and support maximum sustainable employment. Use of the term at pace, as well as later briskly, will be of interest in the marketplace, since this will reaffirm the view that the Reserve Bank will likely again increase the OCR by 50 points at the next review as well in August. ASB chief economist said the key question from here remains when the Reserve Bank will be able to have confidence in getting closer to meeting its targets. While we expect annual CPI inflation peaked in the second quarter, the June quarter, just north of 7%, it is still far from clear when it will settle back into the Reserve Bank of New Zealand's 1-3% target band. Our research shows there is some risk that inflation is set to become more persistent in the New Zealand economy, particularly if the labour market remains tight. For now, we see the OCR heading to a peak of 3.5% in late 2022, with cuts to follow in 2024. That said, there may be some difficult trade-offs next year as growth slows, but inflation potentially proves persistent, they said. An ANZ chief economist said on Wednesday that the decision to raise the OCR by 50 basis points to 2.5% was straightforward in that it was consistent with the Reserve Bank's previous published forecasts, analyst forecasts, and market pricing. The path of least resistance was a motorway, they said. However, decisions are likely to get harder over the second half of the year as evidence mounts that tightening financial conditions are indeed dampening demand and eventually inflation pressures in the economy. The debate around how much is too much will naturally get much louder, but that remains an issue for another day, with it remaining unclear whether inflation has even peaked, let alone how quickly it will come down. And in a second post later today, I'm going to cover the New Zealand housing market in particular, because we've got some data there that shows prices are falling. Some of Australia's biggest investors, though, are piling back into bonds in a bet backing Central Bank Governor Philip Lowe's assessment that a robust series of interest rate hikes will help keep inflation under control next year. Construction and Building Union Superannuation Fund has been lifting exposure to bonds across the board over the past 3 to 6 months, according to the Chief Executive Officer, Justin Arter. Australia's biggest pension fund, Australian Super, has increased its debt holding to 10% from just under 6%. And Janus Henderson Group's Australian Head of Fixed Income says yields are peaking now, as they usually do early in the tightening cycle. If what Dr. Lowe says is proven to be the case, then bonds at the moment will be very good value, Arter, head of the $73 billion asset manager, said in an interview in Melbourne. Once that inflation starts to gently come out of the system over the next 18 months, you'll see that bonds will be good value, which is why there's been a lot of reallocation to bonds by a lot of funds. Australia's 10-year yield spiked to 92 basis points above similar dated treasuries last month. That's the widest gap since January 2015. And that sparked a rally that pushed the difference back down to 44 basis points on Monday, a spread that is still more than double this year. The RBA has hiked rates by 1.25 percentage points over the past 3 months to combat the strongest price gains in two decades, surprising economists and traders with the size of the first two moves. While some foreign investors will shy away from bonds after being burned by its failure to provide reliable guidance on inflation interest rates, locals reckon the central bank is now on the right track. We've effectively seen this mini episode's peak in yields, said Jay Savampalan at Janus Henderson, whose team manages $15.3 billion. Bond markets are trying to be forward-looking, so it's actually quite common that you get actual tightening in the cash rate. So it's quite common that as you actually get tightening in the cash rate, bond yields can actually go either sideways or go down, he said. The RBA can be expected to remain hawkish in its rhetoric for some time because it wants consumers to spend less to help cool inflation, but it's unlikely to meet market pricing for a cash rate that peaks at around 3.5% in mid-2023 because that would do too much damage to financial stability, he added. And CBOS and Janus both see a decent chance that the RBA will avoid tipping Australia into recession. Bonds, certainly Aussies and semis in Australia, are sending you the signal that maybe things won't be as bad as are expected out there, Siddhartha, they now seem to be saying, well, maybe this tightening cycle will end earlier than we thought. Bonds worldwide have suffered an unprecedented rout over the past year, with Australian government debt 11% drop, actually outperforming an 80% loss for global sovereign securities. And Janus Henderson Sevapan said that this sort of meltdown owed much to the extraordinary pandemic era switch into and out of massive policy easing, and that bonds were offering value now the yields have climbed so rapidly. Fixed interest is that great diversifying asset class, and against growth assets this time around, it's failed in that role, Sivapan said. That's not to say that'll fail in its role again, because the asset class now has yield built into it. But of course, if you stand back, you can see here that central banks are now panicking, trying to get the inflation monster under control. I still think the RBA is way behind the pace, and so my own expectation is we're going to see higher rates than many in the markets currently believe in Australia. And if indeed the Federal Reserve goes 1%, that's going to put more upward pressure. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.